Hi, this is Ann Mueller. I am a supporter, friend, and former ambassador with DanceWire in Portland, Oregon. I'm here today with Angela Bryant. It's July 30th, 2018, and we're going to talk a little bit about Angela's life and career in dance as part of the DanceWire Ambassador Series. So welcome, Angela.
Thank you.
And thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Sure.
So just to start off, why don't you give me an overview of all of your current titles?
Alrighty. I am both a performer and a coach for AWOL Dance Collective and Tempo's Contemporary Circus.
Awesome. Do you have other titles and responsibilities in or out of the dance world that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Within Tempo's, I do a lot of the back-end production side of things, okay, like keeping our insurance up to date and scheduling theaters and managing performer schedules, kind of that back end, keeping our website up to date, which probably needs a little attention right now.
So like the whole range of administrative
right
work.
My boyfriend is the artistic director of Tempo's, and okay, we live together, so that just keeps my plate pretty full. He
right
spends a lot of his time in the creative mindset.
Yeah.
And so then I pick up a lot of the like computer work,
yeah,
and that type of structure.
Well, you're fascinating me with this. And so I'm going to kind of go on a tangent, even though it's very early to be doing that.
Sure.
I'm just curious about like how that feels doing the creative work sort of versus the admin, and like the right brain versus left brain. And like, do you like that balance of kind of living in those two worlds? Or do you feel like one is like a chore that you do to service the other?
No, I actually like the balance. The way my brain is structured, that keeps me on task and in point. I'm really do better personally when I know all the ins and outs. For some people, I know those details can like bog them down,
yeah,
and feel overwhelming. But for me, it just keeps, it's a way to keep clearing my mind and not just let them like settle in and,
yeah,
overtake.
Yeah.
And Craig, that's not his strong suit. So I think the combination of us, which of course has created lots of opportunities to get better at communicating with each other.
Right.
Because, you know, life partner and business,
yeah,
partner. That's not his strong suit. So it's like a blessing that my brain likes to,
yeah,
do those type,
yeah,
of things. And it's not just he and I. There are a couple other members in Tempo's that pick up a lot of slack too. Our coaching team is really strong. And I feel that's the same at AWOL. That's not my role at AWOL. As a coach, Kate Law and Alicia Dory take up a lot of that role, and so the fact that they do it at AWOL leaves more time for me to do that at Tempo's, and everybody just kind of plays their part, and it's fall together really nicely.
That's awesome. So when did you start dancing?
My mom had me in dance classes at 2, and I stuck with dance and gymnastics, and actually I was on a performance jump rope team for 6 years, 6th grade through 12th grade. And that was my biggest outlet to performance, actually.
Yeah.
It's fascinating even to me because I grew up in a small town in Iowa, and the fact that there is this jump rope team that incorporated my dance and gymnastics, it,
yeah,
seemed to fit perfect for me. And we traveled all over the world, actually. That's where I really got my love of being on stage.
Yeah.
And dance, yeah, I started young, but the gymnastics and the jumping rope kind of took over my interest, and dance kept piquing my interest, but it didn't make the top of my schedule.
Okay.
So, you know, if there's anything I could make more time for in my schedule, it would and should be dance, but it seems to always fall kind of to the bottom of my time availability.
Yeah.
We need more daytime dance classes in Portland.
Yeah, that's definitely true. One thing I've noticed about them is that they really wax and wane seasonally.
Sure.
So I think it's really hard to sustain,
yeah,
them. But
yeah, classes have to stay full to keep the teachers coming, right?
Yeah, yeah, indeed they do. So to go a little bit deeper now,
sure,
and I'm going to open this up beyond dance because you have such a like a multidisciplinary background. What has dance or your performance art meant to you and has meant to your life?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Multi-layered. I think I was just writing about this the other day, actually. It's like for those of us who are called to perform, it's like this like deep call. It's not like, oh, I choose. It's like something that is pulling you and you just are being dragged along to follow it. And you push and push and push yourself until you can like find your outlet. For me, I kind of stopped a lot of physical activity from like 20 to 33. I say physical activity, I mean in the dance and circus world. Mm-hmm. I fully dove into being a farmer. And then when I got a divorce from my ex-husband, I found AWOL. And just being around strong women all the time was like the best thing that could have happened to me. And it just... I kept finding that it was a good outlet to push myself creatively, physically, and just to get into a different headspace. And I like instantly became addicted. But, and then I found partner acrobatics and like, okay. So those two paths have been really side by side. But it's almost like spiritual in nature when you're like called to be a performer. It like pushes you, you give your heart, you give your soul, you shed tears and blood. But you keep pushing and you're like transformed at the end of each performance. So, yeah. And then you just like, I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. It's a calling for sure. I agree. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the challenges that you have faced in your pursuit of dance and performance. Mm-hmm.
Time is definitely one of them. I mean, AWOL specifically is a company that brings in a lot of floor dance. And it's something I really love watching the other performers in the company like push themselves. It's not where I push myself, but I do think as a company it makes so well-rounded to have that air and floor movement and not just be like we're an aerial company and everything you see us do will be in the air. And AWOL is really great at combining like someone in the air and someone on the floor and that interplay. For me, that's been a challenge, is to like find my way of moving on the floor with such high-level dancers. Right. And so they're constantly pushing me in a positive direction. I'm much more comfortable off the ground, be it on top of another person or on an apparatus. So that has been a big challenge for me. And then, like I said, just finding dance classes that'll fit my schedule is a challenge. But it's also not the biggest problem because they've accepted me for the strengths that I offer. So that feels like a blessing to me. And then there's the logistical challenges of wanting to throw my every minute into circus, but still having to pay my rent.
Yeah,
that type of challenge.
Absolutely. I think that's like, just speaking from my own artistic experience, such a beautiful thing when you can find a place where you feel like... You belong and your what you bring is valued and it has its space there. So there's like security in that, but then you're also at the same time able to really push and challenge yourself to move into new territories. So you're like functioning from both your strength and not necessarily your weakness, but the areas where you would like to improve.
It's, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And we're constantly getting pushed onto things that we've never even heard of. Like, MOPS was an apparatus that was completely new to me just a couple of years ago, and I've performed on them twice. It's like six cords hanging from one rigging point, or like tying a fabric to the bottom of a lira, or like AWOL's really good at inventing apparatuses or pulling images out of Jen's brain and making them come alive and then being like, well, now what do we do with this? We have an aerial pyramid. It's something we've never even seen before. You look on Instagram and you can't even find anyone playing on it. So those are like my favorite challenges.
Yeah.
Figure this out and then make something beautiful on it.
That's also really cool because it has like going back to the right brain, left brain thing. There's like the really sort of structural mechanical aspect and then the like creativity that springs from that.
Absolutely.
Super cool. So maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the people and opportunities and maybe resources that you've come across in your performance journey that have really helped you. Hmm.
You mean like...
Maybe pivotal people that influenced you or, you know, sent you in a particular direction or...
Sure. I'll just kind of go company by company. Tempos... I met my partner through Tempos. He asked some of us to be in his first show in 2013. And his him being Craig Mead, his style, I guess I'll say, is really pushing physical theater into the movement that we do. And like, he broke me many times. Like, crying in rehearsal was a common thing for me. Like, if you've never done physical theater and your whole focus, your whole life has been like perfect presence on stage.
Yeah.
My lines are never broken. My toes are always pointed. And you're always kind of wearing this mask of open eyes and big smile. And then somebody is like,
crack it open.
Do the exact opposite of that. All I want to see is vulnerability from you. I don't care what your lines, like, that took a while for me to meld, but coming full circle, that was like huge in my, what I consider my performance path. For some people that might not matter at all, like they don't care to go down that path.
Yeah.
But for me, it was pivotal, opened this huge door to other ways of being present on stage that I would have never been cracked open to.
Yeah.
And Zena is also in Tempo's company, and she has a degree basically in that style of performance. And so those two together, when they collaborate, really push us. And now I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we've been able to start a training company this year with Tempo's, and to see that blended in to their training right from day one, how much more quickly they progress than I did is like, I won't cuss, freaking awesome to witness, right? Like, these performers, like, it's their first chance to get on stage sometimes. Sometimes they're in their 30s or 40s and it's their first chance on stage, but they're owning that vulnerability and letting themselves be witnessed in a way that took me many more years to come to. And then with AWOL, they really pushed me. I went through the training company, and then they started training me as a coach and then brought me onto the company. So they pushed me in a different way. I wouldn't say that it's always perfect presence, but there's a huge focus on lines. It feels more, I don't have tons of training in ballet, but it feels more like that, where your lines are super important and your face expression is still super important, but your grace is like constantly being challenged. You're doing very difficult physical strength things, but they want you to have your lines extended perfectly the whole time. And aerial is one of those things where, you know, now when I coach, I like to ask the question at the beginning of the season, what is the difference in someone who's in training? What is the difference in your eyes between a performer and a professional level performer? And they often say things like, the professionals don't make mistakes. And to me, that is like such a fallacy. The professionals make mistakes all the time. You just learn how to cover
finesse.
Stay in character even when something's going totally wrong. You can be up there and be like, I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this knot I've tangled myself in, but you continue with grace and poise, and somehow you end up back on count with the rest of the performers. It's learning how to stay present with your audience and nicely recover. It's not that you don't mess up.
Make errors.
Yeah, errors are human, but it's like, how do you handle those is what to me seems to be crossing over from still being in training to being a professional.
Absolutely. Well put. Well put. Well, this kind of ties in nicely to my next question, which is in looking at your career, like what stage do you feel you are right now?
First of all, I'm 41, so I constantly feel, and people from the outside tell me I'm a little crazy, but I constantly feel this, like, time ticking away at me. But I'm still strong, and I'm still able, so I don't know why that keeps in my head. The things I feel are, like, I don't heal as fast as I did 10 years ago. Certain tricks, I'll be like, yeah, I'm cool, never trying that.
Right.
And I will let someone in the company who's 22 totally, like, do this crazy wrap and then do unroll for three and then hang by their ankles. Like, I'm totally fine if I never do that. So my perception has changed a little bit of like what is appropriate for my body.
Yeah.
But also as I age, and I remember Jen saying this to me when I was in FICO, she just kept saying, I want to see more from you. I want to see more expression, more emotion. And it took me years to feel what she was asking for. And now I ask it of the people that are training under me. But with age comes experience and wisdom that you can pull from that you don't necessarily have when you're 19 or 20, even though you're hunting for it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just getting clocked hours on stage so that right. you have the opportunity to play with that. And in life. Yeah, stage and in life, right? I'm forgetting the original question, but
we were just talking about the stage of your career where you yeah. find yourself.
So
now.
I don't feel like I'm done performing at all. I really hope not because I love it. But I am finding more focus in how to become a better teacher and how to become a better coach. Because mm-hmm. at some point in the next decade, I can only guess that I will be performing less high level tricks, working in more physical theater, and coaching even more.
More, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you kind of answered the next question for me, which is about moving forward. But while we're talking about the sort of relationship between performance and coaching, how do you feel that the two aspects inform each other?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like coaching has pushed my understanding of how apparatus movement works so much more than I could have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. People ask questions that I'm like, would have never even thought to ask, and so then I have to figure out an answer for that. But that pushes my brain in such a fascinating way. Or you'll think you completely understand a move, and then somebody will do something where you're like, I had no idea that that could even happen. Especially when certain movement comes naturally to your body, and then yeah. you have to feel in to see how did you make that happen. Because obviously not all moves come naturally to us, but the ones that do
right.
are likely the ones that we're teaching. So, yeah, so I've had to really find a deeper understanding for how things work technically. Yeah. What is my exact hip angle in transition when I'm cartwheeling over my base? And then try to do it in slow-mo so right. the student can see that yeah. little rotation inside your hip joint or whatever it is. So that has been huge in my understanding of what am I actually doing.
Yeah,
and then that understanding can feed me and push me to the next higher level thing.
Yeah.
And you start to see pathways often from the outside that you don't see from the inside, which is something that I love, is helping act creation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful answer. So do you have any sort of specific goals moving forward?
Well, I constantly like to be pushed on new apparatus and creativity. I mean, there's always specific, like if you looked at my notebook, there would just be training regimens of like goals towards specific movements, like ways to finesse my toe pitch or what to do once you land a toe pitch, like things like that we're constantly working at in acrobatics. Aerial specific goals are constantly strength and flexibility, because that's what you need to get to the next trick or the next drop or the next whatever, and then keeping grace within all of that. We're back to the dance conversation. Just finding more ways to continue to push floor movement for me is good.
Great. Well, I feel like you've kind of given us a lot of insight into your kind of artist's outlook.
Sure.
But do you have an artist statement, or do you have any thoughts about like a long-term vision with your work? I guess that ties into the goal question, but maybe kind of an overarching yeah. philosophical.
I don't know about philosophical right now. I like to keep, I am super grateful for the balance that I have between AWOL and tempos. They, to me, like fit two sides of my creative coin. And I feel super blessed. And it's been a constant working relationship to be in two companies.
Right.
And both of the artistic directors, well, there's a team of artistic directors at AWOL and Tempos, but on both sides of that coin, everybody's been very willing to work with me. I mean, I give my full commitment, but still there's like, I have to miss
logistics.
I have to yeah. miss this thing because of this show and vice versa. And everybody's been super gracious with that. And it's pushed a lot of communication as always.
Yeah.
AWOL is always growing and I love coaching with them. I'm not on the director side of that, so I don't know exactly what their vision is for where AWOL is going. There are some exciting changes coming in the next year. I think we're going to try and tour a show in the spring, which is new for us and exciting. So that'll be like, I think it'll have to be rotating cast, and we'll have to learn each other's pieces because not every cast member, since we're in our adult with some of us, you know,
families
and jobs won't be able to go on every tour. So that'll be a fascinating thing to explore and take our work to other parts of the country. Super exciting. On Tempo's side, we're growing faster than we expected. Like we just started, Craig started as, I want to do this one show and then I'm moving to Colorado. And then the show came and went and he said, okay, we made this much money. How would you guys all like to be paid? And basically the cast said, we don't want to be paid. We want to put all that money back in and do another show. And he was like, but I was going to move to Colorado. But I guess I'm not moving to Colorado now. And so that was in 2013. And just this past year, we've had students coming and asking more and more. I want classes. I want a training company. So we started a training company last year. They did their first show in June. We are just finishing up two rounds of summer intensives, and the training company will start again. And we're like outgrowing our space faster than we ever imagined. So we're in the process of looking for a warehouse and starting a circus school, actually, contemporary acrobatics focused. So lots of physical theater, and one of our members, Zena, is taking a lot of Gaga and would like to start teaching physical theater and her version of Gaga. I don't know if she'll claim that she's teaching Gaga. And then just lots of partner acrobatics where the physical theater is brought in, so really focused on the contemporary style of partner acrobatics. So we want to be able to offer series classes and continue our training company. You might even be able to have two tiers of training company. So we're definitely on the hunt to expand, and so that is really exciting.
Yeah.
And nerve-wracking.
Yep.
But when people are asking for it, you've got to seize the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of like open the lens a little bit and talk about your sort of view of the broader dance scene in Portland. Mm-hmm. And what do you think is really working and fabulous about it? And what do you think is maybe not working as well and might be lacking?
You mean in the city in general?
In the dance scene in the city, yeah.
Okay, my experience, and I've had some conversations with my roommate who used to be an AWOL company member, is when you're in the intermediate dance category, I find it challenging to find classes. Like beginner level classes often don't challenge us enough, but then when we go to a drop in all levels, it's like way over our head. And so trying to find something in the middle is, it'd be something I would like to see open up in Portland as far as like what classes are offered. And I totally understand the like scheduling thing that we briefly talked about. Some of us do have daytime, and if that was an option, like afternoon classes, I would be welcome to seeing some of them hit the schedule, but I understand classes have to fill to be held.
Right. No, but you're so right. I mean, I see that in the ballet world, absolutely, that like in the adult dance world, there are often absolute beginning workshops, you know, that run 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever. And then you have your regular adult open classes, and the distance between those is quite far. And I don't know of anybody yet who's totally cracked the nut in figuring out like how you capture those people that have the interest in the beginning level and then and continue their their development and training in a way that works logistically and financially. Yeah.
And then, you know, I often can hang up until the whole choreography section at the end. And then if it's like a common language to everyone in the room, you're like, oh, I'm just stringing together these steps that I already know. But if you don't know all the steps, you get lost.
Right.
Liz Jones teaches here Thursday mornings at 11, and I wish it fit my schedule. But I feel like when I have had the opportunity to take her classes, she's really good at that intermediate group that I'm talking about. So hopefully some of people listening will come and try her class. I think AWOL is going to add some more dance classes. Our schedule is changing come October, and I don't know exactly what it will look like, but I think we are trying to add some dance classes. And just whatever teachers are listening, they can let that ponder in their brain for a little bit, see what can come of it.
Excellent. Okay, so that was a challenge. How about something that you feel is like awesome and working really well?
Oh my God, I feel like I can go on about positivity. The inspiration and just the like general creative vibe in this city feels so high to me. Like even when I've gone to San Francisco and tried to take an aerial class, I'm like, how can it be so difficult? This city is huge to find an aerial class that like fits my level. I haven't really searched for dance classes in San Francisco. But in Portland, I feel like we are just like, there's constantly shows to go watch and be inspired with. And the variety of styles is like huge. It's all over the place. Yeah. Yes, you can find something to inspire you like every week. That's super easy. There are great movers to watch. A lot of the dance companies I see exploring movement that might not be what they would have done years ago, but now they're like branching out. I do watch a lot of dance. Maybe I don't do a lot, but I do watch a lot. And I love some of the touring companies that come through. We're very fortunate to have Whitebird and the theaters downtown bringing in performers from out of state, out of country. So that is, I just love the, like, Portland is just bursting with creativity at all times.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, that's a pretty beautiful picture that you've just painted. But if you were to sort of send that picture 10 years in the future or so, what do you think it looks like? Or what do you hope for?
What do I hope for?
Yeah.
I would like to see a wider style of classes being taught. My little bit of experience with Bhutto and Gaga has been awesome, but it's like not happening on the regular. I'm sure there's styles I haven't even thought of that I'd like to see. Or there's a huge contemporary offering in Portland, which is super great, but yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more variety. I like looked for an adult tap class recently, couldn't find one. I was like, I can't find one in the whole city. And maybe there's one that I didn't find, but tap was something that I did growing up, and I thought, ooh, that'd be fascinating to try that again.
I've thought about tap too, because it's like you can probably do that into your 60s, 70s, and on.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like physical theater classes would be great. It's something that our students at Tempos have asked for more, because they get like a taste of it in their training company, but it's not like you get physical theater on Tuesday from 7 to 9, right? Like something more to push the like theater side of dance and performance in movement, not in just like actual theater.
Yep.
Yeah. Which actually Portland has a great scene for that too.
It does. So yeah, maybe building some additional bridges between the two.
That would be great. And you know, we're Tempos is trying to. AWOL also brings in physical theater workshops for our trainees, but not for the general public. So AWOL and Tempos are kind of in that same place where our
internal
company members or our training company members get that, but there's no like the general public can just sign up for those classes.
Very cool. Well, so there were a number of like calls to action for the community in that interview. So I hope everybody's listening and thinking of ideas about classes and future offerings in the Portland dance scene. Thank you. It's been really fascinating to hear more about your journey in dance. And thank you for being a DanceWire ambassador. And great luck to you.
Yeah, I have one more little plug I'd like to give. AWOL has a show coming up the next two weekends. We open this Friday. It's Art in the Dark. This year we're doing a show called 10 Laws, where we have live music by East Forest. It's August 3rd through the 5th and 9th through the 12th.
Okay.
It's magical. We wait until the sun goes down. We've built stages in the forest in West Lynn, and so you see us suspended from cables, dangling from the trees with the lights shining up. This year we incorporate a bit of water, which is a fascinating little thing to add, and the lights sparkling off the water can be so magical, and it's our 15th year, so this is like our big 15-year anniversary show, so I hope everyone can make it.
So everybody buy tickets.
AWOLDance.org.
That's your first call to action. All right, thanks.
Thank you. We went over, huh?